praise God. Here we are again at Watchman School of Prayer. And we are in class number 17. Wow, 17. And we are teaching tonight on the armor of God. The armor of God. But before we do that, let's all say our scripture verse, all right? For those of you that are listening on audio or watching, you can say it with us. Jeremiah 51:12. Let's say it. And set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong, set up the watchmen, and prepare the ambushes. Praise God. Now that's what we're doing. We're all becoming watchmen for the Lord. Babylon is the world system, is confusion. It's all the things that you experience each week, every week. You have some kind of turmoil or some kind of attack or something happens. It's not from God. It comes from another type of world, which we learned about in the last sessions. There are two kingdoms. It comes from the kingdom of darkness. Now, spiritual warfare, we learned the last time, is taking your position as a believer against darkness. It's light against dark. It's truth against false. That simple, all right? And we have to remember that as we go on and we study about this. And we have a power-packed session tonight. Now I'm going to open, I'd like you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at the armor of God. I'm going to read it in the King James. And I'm also going to read it out of the Living Bible because it's so powerful when it was in there. I'm going to start in verse 10. And then I'm going to break it down for you tonight. Starting Ephesians 6 verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might, not our might, His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now we studied on all of this in class before, all about the powers, the principalities that are in the heavenlies. We know that Satan has his own rank and file and kingdom. That's who we wrestle against. Verse 13. Wherefore take unto yourself the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, what are we standing against? The devil and the kingdom of darkness. You've got to remember this. What are you standing against? You're not standing against God. You're not standing against your family. You're standing against the things that maybe are using them, or whatever's happening. If you're watching on video or on audio, you're listening, maybe in your job you're having what I call warfare. I call it warfare because it's light against dark. You may be the only light that's on your job. You may be the only believer that's there. Everybody else may be full of what we call antichrist, anti-anointing. If that's the case, then you are going to have warfare. Amen? Hallelujah! I see some of those people sitting right here in our class making a face. Oh, well, you know what? Be excited. God put you there because God knows you have the ability to do what it takes against what's there. I know that before I was in the ministry full time, I was in some heavy warfare when I was working, when I was going through Bible school. And I had to withstand it. Amen? And we don't, you know, make a wishy-wash out of it. We don't weep and be a wimp. We stand up and be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that's what it's all about. Because God has given us the authority, as we're going to continue to see. So verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Now, real quickly, I want to read to you, starting in verse 13, and you can listen if you don't have a Living Bible. Just listen to it. And it says, so use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy whenever he attacks. And when it is all over, you will still be standing up. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to see tonight, and you're going to check yourself out, those of you in here and watching on the video and on audio, do you have your armor on? And if you don't have your armor on, you will know why you are being defeated. Verse 14 in the Living Bible says, but to do this, it says, you will need the strong belt of truth, the breastplate of God's approval, wearing shoes that are able to speed you on as you preach the good news of peace with God. And in every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. And you will need the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, we are going to study in depth about these different types of armor. There are three offensive weapons of the armor. And the offensive weapons are shoes, the sword, and prayer, which is also the lance. You're going to learn that at the very end. Shoes, sword, and the lance, which is the same as prayer. That's offensive weapons. There are three defensive weapons. They are the breastplate, the shield, and the helmet. Defensive weapons are the breastplate, the shield, and the helmet. And there's one neutral weapon, which is the loin belt. Okay? Now let's all just briefly look at verse 14 for a moment. In verse 14, it says in the first two words, stand therefore. Now this word stand means to stand upright. And it is the image of one who is so confident that he is holding his head high, his shoulders back, and when all the armor is on, you have every reason to stand tall. Now, I have, and you all have in your hands, a picture of a Roman soldier. And this is, by the way, if you don't know this, when Paul was writing the book of Ephesians, and he was depicting the armor of God, he was relating it to the Roman soldier's army. I mean, their armor. The armor that was in the army of the Roman times. And the picture you have, and the picture I'm about to put up on this board here, this is a picture of a Roman soldier and the armor of God, and we're going to go through it in each piecemeal, and you have it in your hand. Now, the first thing we're going to look at is, because it says here, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, the loins girt about with truth is right here. Okay, the loins is where you see this belt. And you see right here is just a piece hanging down over the loins. And I'm going to discuss that with you. That is the first piece of armor. Now, this is a belt of truth. The loin belt is called the belt of truth. It's a key weapon. Why is it a key weapon? Well, those of you that have pants, and if you're a man, usually you wear a belt. Hallelujah. And if you don't have a belt, and let's say you've lost some weight, your pants are going to fall down, okay? So, this is a belt. And with this belt, everything else stays in place. That's why you see the armor looking the way it does with this loin belt. It is the thing that holds everything in place. It held, in the Roman army, it held all the pieces of armor together. It is the most vital part of all the weaponry of the Roman soldier that they wore. The shield is attached to the loin belt. The sword, in fact, let's go back and look at it in a minute. The shield, which right now he's holding in front of him, but normally it can hang and it's attached to the loin belt. All right? And then we have the sword, and this sword he's got in his hand right now, but it's also attached to the loin belt because this is over here a lance. This is the sword, and it also fit into the loin belt. And also we have the lance, which I just told you on, and the breastplate. This is the breastplate. The breastplate goes all the way down. And that also is encroached or attached in with the loin belt. So it's important that you see that the loin belt was a very important part or piece of the armor. Okay? And also with the breastplate, it kept from flapping in the wind because the loin belt was holding it. Now with the loin belt, the soldier had confidence that all his equipment would stay in place. So he could move quickly, okay, and fight with great fury. You understand? Now listen what I'm saying. He could move quickly so he could fight with great fury. When you're in an attack and things are coming at you, you have to move quickly and know what to do. Now, what is the loin belt? Well, the loin belt signifies the written word of God. It is the Logos, L-O-G-O-S, the written word of God. That's what it signifies. Is that clear? I mean, it's if you don't know the written word of God, if you don't know this word, when an attack comes, you will not be able to stand. Because you'll be so panic-stricken because you don't have any word in you, it'll not come up out of you. That's the rhema word, which we're going to learn in a few minutes as one of the armors. You won't be able to say anything, all right? Because you have not learned the word of God enough so that in a time of instant need, you don't know it. That's why I give you memorization scriptures. That's why you have to force yourself to memorize scripture. When I was in Bible school, that's what I had to do. That's why I always say, get a little index card, memorize it, put it all over. See, you are the one who's responsible for your victory in the Lord. The more you work at it, the better you're going to get. A soldier has to train. Amen? So you all, those watching and listening, are soldiers. You're a soldier in the army of God. But how much you are able to use your armor is all determined as to how much you train each week and each day. It's every day. It's not a once in a while thing. Okay? So for our armor as believers, we can't physically see the majority of our spiritual armor, all right? But the written word of God is what holds all of our armor together and in place. Now the loin belt, as you saw, covered the loins. Now that is an area of reproduction. It's the area in our body which has reproductive organs, all right? And it shows us our ability to produce for God. That is directly tied to our relationship with the Word. How much fruit we produce in our life as a believer, if we're in the ministry or whatever we're doing, has to do with how much Word is in us. Because the loin belt is covering the reproductive parts of our body. It also prevents us, if you think of the loin belt in another sense, it also shows you that that part of our body is to be protected when it comes to other areas, when it comes to fornication or things that are produced not by the Spirit of God. Amen? Because if we know the Word, we know not to do those things. Now let's go to the second piece of armor. It is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate starts from all the way on top here, goes all the way down. So it has many different forms. It has a hard form. Then it's got these small little pieces of steel linked together. And even these other little pieces that come down in like, looks like 2-inch strips. All right? Now there's a reason for that. The breastplate is the most elaborate and the most beautiful that's on the armor. It is made of brass or bronze. And if you realize the breastplate is covering your heart, your lungs, and the stomach and colon area of your body. Soldiers walking in the breastplate daily, they enhanced it. In other words, by using it, it became enhanced by the smaller pieces that were on there of metal. Why? Because the metal rubbed together. When they were wearing it, the metal began to rub together. And when the metal rubs together, if you ever notice metal rubbing together, it brings luster. It begins to shine more. So a whole row of soldiers that had on this breastplate and this armor could be blinding to the enemy. Just imagine that, seeing thousands of soldiers with all this shiny stuff all over them, all right? Now, the breastplate, as we see here in verse 14, it says the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate signifies our right standing with God. Now, the enemy, the devil, wants to attack you all the time and tell you, you are not in right standing with God. You are not worth anything. You have no authority. He wants to make you feel like you're weak, make you feel ashamed, make you feel guilty. Especially if you live in a territory that's full of religious spirits. And we must understand that the enemy penetrates our mind. That's where the weaponry, his weaponry, his darts come to tell us if he penetrates enough with slanderous accusations, you'll never fight the devil. You'll sit there and let him beat you up. Now, believers who do not understand their righteousness in the Messiah, in the Anointed One, in Christ, they are prey. You have to know your rights as a son and a daughter of God. How do you do that? Well, we go back to the first thing was the loin belt. If you don't know the Word of God and who you are in Christ and your authority, it's very difficult for you to have a breastplate of righteousness. You see, the enemy sees the breastplate and is blinded. What they see is little Yeshuas walking around, little Jesuses walking around, because we are not righteous of ourselves. We are righteous through the blood. Amen? Yeshua purchased it for us on the cross. We learned that in the class weeks ago on the blood. And if you don't understand the blood, you better go back and listen to it 500 times again. God made righteousness available to us through what Yeshua did. Now, of course, if you are in blatant sin, I mean, if you are blatantly doing things that are not right, if you know what to do is right and you don't do it, it's sin. I mean, if you are living with someone, that's sin. If you are speaking lies, that's sin. If you don't pay your tithes, that's sin. I mean, I can go on and on and on. So if you know that you're doing something wrong and you start coming against the devil and you have on this breastplate, the righteousness is a joke to the enemy, and he'll pound you all over. So as long as you know you're doing the best of your ability that you know of what's right in God, you get that armor on, you start beating the devil in the head. Amen? I think of a story I heard this last week, and I won't get into the details, but it really, I was very, very excited about it. There's a young man that's in our ministry here. And I'll tell you that, those of you, if you're watching overseas, you need to do this, okay? Or if you're watching in the States, wherever you're watching, he was very upset at the devil. And he was so upset that, and we went back to his town, because the devil had stolen, done some things, and he went back to his town, and he got out of his van, and he started running around the main street, and he was shouting at the devil and binding the devil, and you know that the people around there called the police. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want to know who it is. Well, you can learn after. But the thing is, he was right in what he was doing, but he had the wrong timing. That's okay. But that's what you got to do. Get mad at the devil. Begin to tell the devil to get off of my family. Get off of my territory. And the more you learn to be a fighter, the stronger you will be, and you will begin to see changes in your life. Will attack stop? Never. The stronger you get, the more the attacks come. But the more you're able to deal with it. New level, new devil. But hallelujah. What do we do here? We learn to love to fight the devil. Because when we go to heaven to be with the Lord, there's no fighting the devil. Up there, there's no demons in God's heaven. Amen? But remember, we are coming back with him to fight. So we ought to learn how to fight now. Amen? So let's go to the third piece of armor here. And in verse 15, it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we're going to look here at the gospel of peace. And I think what I'm going to do is take this out for a minute and so that I can talk to you about this. I don't know how close we can get with the camera, but you can see here, these are shoes. Now, the feet shod with the preparation of peace, or the shoes have like cleats on the bottom, and they clamp into the ground, so they make you very steady. And also, there is a plate that goes all the way up to the knee area. So these shoes go from the knee all the way down. And it's very important that we understand that. Amen? Now, the Roman soldier's shoes, as I just described to you, the top was called a greave. That's the piece of metal from the knee to the upper foot. It looks like a boot, combat boots. Praise the Lord. I told you you're in the army of God. And we have to understand that they were there protecting them from broken legs, from thorns, from... Remember, they were... In those days, they had... when they had war, they were in the wilderness, you know. They were fighting in places where there was trees and bushes and all this kind of stuff, all right? So they needed protection against their legs. Now, we need protection also against rocky situations. Our emotions is one of them. So we have to have the peace of God, because this is talking about the peace that's in your heart. Even though, now this sounds like what we call a little bit opposite. How could that be? How do we fight the devil and have the peace of God? You cannot fight the devil without the peace of God correctly. If you fight the devil out of fear and anxiety, you will lose every time. Does that mean you don't get angry and fight hard? No. That means that you have on the loin belt, which you know the word of God, and you begin to come up out of your spirit, and you have peace, but you're coming at the devil, but you have peace because you know God's word is right. And so you must have peace inside. You must believe. If you don't have peace, then your faith is nowhere near where it needs to be. And we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes in depth. So we see that this was a protection on the feet of peace to walk steadfast. Peace is defensive and offensive weapon, actually. It's both. And when it's used correctly, it keeps the enemy under your feet. Okay? Now, we see here in verse 15, it says, your feet are shod, S-H-O-D. Now, the word shod means binding something very tightly on the bottom of our feet. Binding something very tightly on the bottom of our feet. Under, it's underneath. And you saw the cleats, okay? Now, the shoe that the Roman soldier wore that we saw is very tight on them. It's extremely tightly bound. Peace must be tied firmly in our lives. And I understand that that is a struggle. And I understand that we have to fight even to keep peace when everything's going wrong around us. But that's an inner thing, an inner knowing, and that comes from our fellowship and our walk with the Lord. Knowing that God is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. He is there always, no matter what's going on in your situation. And that is a daily thing. If you're not fellowshipping with God, you cannot have peace firmly tied in your life. And it says here, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means preparation is readiness. The soldiers had a firm footing. They were sure that their shoes would stay on. You have to be firm and solidly founded. The shoes also, if you realize when you wear shoes, you put shoes on because why? Because you're going to walk, correct? Now, we don't normally walk backwards, do we? We walk forwards, right? Well, what does the Bible tell us? It tells us in Philippians chapter 3, let's just look there real briefly. Keep your finger where you are because we're coming right back. The book is right next to Ephesians, Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, But one thing I do, or one thing, forgetting those things which are behind, and straining and reaching forward unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in the Messiah Jesus, in the anointed one of his anointing. So, you are going forward. That's what you're supposed to do. You are to forget what's behind. What is the forgetting? You're to stop having doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief has got to be under your feet. And you are to reach forward. That word reach forward means to strain, move forward. You press towards the high mark of what God's calling you to do. So your shoes of the preparation of peace are moving you forward. It's very important. This is aggressive peace. We know about peace talks, amen, within the Middle East and Israel. That doesn't work. But we are talking about aggressive peace that can allow us to look directly into the face of the enemy, directly into the face of a situation, without being moved by what we see, what we feel, what we hear, our senses. We don't get moved by our senses. When an emergency comes and you have to go and do something, and you have to go to the hospital, or you have a call that someone's sick, what happens to you? Do you move in fear, or do you move in faith? Do you have peace, or do you have anxiety? If you have anxiety, I can tell you already, or you have fear, you are not grounded in the Word of God. You do not spend enough time in the Word of God. You do not spend enough time memorizing Scripture so that your insides have peace. Even though you might feel the agitation, you know, you can feel that. You can have agitation in a situation inside, but yet there's peace. Because you know that God's Word is above any word. So this is something you have to work on. It says in Colossians 3:15, we're to let the peace of God rule and reign in our heart and our mind. Amen? Okay, let's go to the fourth weapon, which is the shield of faith. Let's look at that real brief here in the picture. Now, the shield of faith is over here, but normally I have to tell you, it's much bigger than this. This is really skimpy. It actually, I would tell you, probably fits more like from here all the way to about here. It's probably even bigger. And many times, I'll just draw it down a little. Many times, it's attached, when the soldier is not putting it out in front of him, it's attached, hooked onto his loin belt, okay? Which is the Word of God. And this shield is hooked there, and then when he's ready for battle, see, he's got the shield out in front of him of protection. Now, this is very important that you understand this. The loin belt and the shield of faith are inseparable. Our faith is attached to the Word of God. At least it should be. It's to protect us against missiles shot at our mind and our emotions, or even at our bodies. So the shield of faith is attached to the Word of God. Now we know, how does the Word of God come? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the? Say it loud. Word of God. All right? Let's look at 1 John 5:4. And in verse 4. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm going to spend a little time here on this shield of faith because it's very, very important. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith." Okay? And we see here in verse 16, what does it say in verse 16? In Ephesians 6:16. Here we are back there. Above all, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench, that word quench means nullify, all the fiery darts of the wicked, all the devil's tactics. Amen? Now, the Roman soldier used sometimes two different shields. But the shield that Paul is describing here is the one we see in the picture you have and the one I looked at on the board there. It's door-shaped. It completely covered the soldier. So this picture is a little bit understated. The shield is much, much bigger. And in a few minutes, I'm going to show you a movie of what the shield actually looked like and how awesome. And this shield, this is the way you need to be walking around. And when you see this movie, you're going to actually understand. So if I was you on your pictures, make that shield almost twice the size, because that's how it should be. All right? Now, God has given us enough faith to be completely covered. God, it says in Romans 12:3, God has dealt a measure of faith to every man. Amen? Now, on this shield, you need to understand what was on here. Now, just listen to what the shield was made of. There were six layers of animal hide tightly woven together, which covered the Roman shield and made it extremely tough and durable, almost strong as steel. It was made of animal hide and was almost strong as steel. The soldiers had to care for this leather every day. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now remember, this is a type and shadow of your faith. The soldiers had to care for this every day. They rubbed it. They had to apply oil to keep it soft. Otherwise, the shield would become hard, stiff, and brittle. It would harden, it would crack when put under pressure. It would fall to pieces. This was the equivalent for the soldier of inviting certain death. A faith that is ignored nearly always breaks and falls to pieces in confrontation. We have to keep our faith freshly anointed by the Holy Spirit. I ask you that's watching and that's listening by audio, what and how is your shield of faith? Where is it? Is it on you? How big is it? How much are you rubbing it and taking care of it every day? So when confrontation and when problems come, is your shield right there? Another reason the shield was made out of animal hide was before these soldiers went to war, they took their shields, now listen to what they did, and dipped them into a tub of water and left them soaking until the shield was completely saturated. Now I'll tell you why. Because the enemy back in those days used arrows, I'm going to see that in a few minutes on the film, that carried fire. The enemy in those days used arrows that carried fire, okay? And remember we read in verse 16, if you have your shield of faith, you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So we see fire there. And by the shields being saturated with water, and what is water a analogy or a parallel of for us? The Word of God. Amen? They dipped their shields in the Word of God. Even if the dangerous flaming arrows hit the shields on these Roman soldiers, they were extinguished upon impact by the wet surface of the Roman shield. When we keep our faith washed and saturated into the Word, the water of the Word, it says, remember, Ephesians 5:26, we have the power to extinguish the flaming arrows. If you are not being able to extinguish the flaming arrows, then you are not washing yourself with the power or the water of the Word. Daily application of both oil and water was required for the Roman soldiers to keep their shields in top-notch condition. Likewise, we have to give serious attention to the condition of our shield of faith. We see here in verse 16, it says, above all. So faith comes from the Word of God. Therefore, it is not, now I just want to clarify this, it's not more important than the written word, which is the loin belt. Now, let's make a distinction on what this means, okay? The shield of faith is actually the Rhema word of God. In other words, the loin belt is the logos, okay? And you putting the word of God in you. And from the word of God, faith rises and you get a shield. It's a spiritual shield, right? So it says here, above all, take the shield of faith. And faith comes from the word of God. It's not more important than the loin belt because that represents the word of God, okay? The word above all in the Greek means overall or everything. It describes the position over the other pieces of the armor. It doesn't describe that it's more important. It just describes the position. It's the one that's in the front. The shield of faith is in the front. That's the one that protects you. So it's out front. A better translation would be in verse 16, out in front of all or covering all. That's really what it needs to be, is the shield of faith. Out in front of all or covering all. Faith is to be out front where it can cover all of you. So remember that this is a position, not the importance. And it says that we shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Now that word shall be able is from the word dunamis, a Greek word which means explosive power. That's where we get the word dynamite, the English word. So we could say it like this: by the use of this shield of faith, we will have explosive and dynamite power. When the power of God and the faith get together, they become a shield to the believer. Now, real quickly, I'm just going to share with you one other thing, and then I'm going to show you a film. I want to get all of this in, and there's so much to cover, praise God, that I'll get it in. The fiery darts of the wicked, in verse 16. There were three types of arrows used by the military in those days. One type was the most dangerous. Those arrows contained combustible fluids that burst into flames upon impact. They were called fiery darts. The greatest terror of that time in the Roman days were these arrows. To the natural eye, they didn't look so dangerous, because the natural eye couldn't see what the arrows had been filled with. They were filled with this combustible fluid. Only after impact, after a great fire had begun, could you know their danger. These fire-bearing arrows were reserved to inflict damage upon fortified places, you know, cities, people. These arrows of the devil comes many times to families and many times to congregations and churches to inflict damage, not just in one person, but all over, all across the board. And that way the troops were shocked and taken off guard when these arrows hit inside the walls of their fortress and burst into raging flames. Once the troops were taken off guard, the enemy would continue to shoot more arrows. That's why it's so important we stick and stay together, and I'm going to share that in just a moment about that. Fire-bearing arrows come into our emotions: anger, rage, anxiety, fear, unbelief, worry. Those are all arrows, okay? Affliction, disease. We're to cast them down by the shield of faith. Now I'm going to show you a movie, actually just 1 minute of it, because it's not a movie I recommend, but I happened to see this at a minister's conference, and I was blessed enough, I was helping somebody clean out their house, actually to get rid of things that were not of God one day, cleaning out their house of movies that were not right, and they happened to have this movie, and it's not the greatest movie for people to watch, but there's a section in this movie that depicts exactly what I've just shared with you: the Roman soldiers and the shield of faith. I want you to pay particular attention because of the arrows and the shield, And at the very last instant, you will see a miracle of how these soldiers covered their entire bodies, a whole army, with the shield of faith. So we're going to go to that. I'm going to just turn this on. And we're going to go to the gladiator and see this movie. Here we go. At it, the shields went up and over. If you saw it, they were completely covered with the shield of faith. Completely covered. Now, that's what we're to be. Completely covered. That is a real demonstration of what I just discussed with you on the armor of God and the shield and the arrows. Now, I want to just share about the fact when I said I was sharing with you how important it was that you stay together. The leader was yelling during this, screaming, "Stay with me! Stay with me!" Those of you that are in leadership here or that are coming up into leadership, it is so important to stay in your place. We are not playing games, people. We are fighting a war. This is a war. And we have an enemy. And that's why we are to be in a corporate army. As a body of believers, especially if you're in a local body like we are, if you're watching or listening and you're in a local body, you need to be together with that local body. Corporate faith. Joining our faith with others, especially in our local body. Marching together, okay? The Roman soldiers were threatened by mass opposition. They would walk very close. You saw it when they were walking. You couldn't see a gap between them, could you? He said, no gap. They were walking side by side, one another in one long line, and on the sides of their shields were hinges. And these hinges, one at a time, they locked themselves into the next person. There's a hinge there. So they would fasten their shields to the next person. Then they would march in unison toward the opposing forces. It looked like a huge wall of armor moving across the field toward the enemy. And we just saw that, didn't we? Therefore, they had a massive wall of protection in front of them because their shields were attached to the other shield. The way that we get a massive wall of protection is when we stay in our place, when we do what we need to do and we don't come out of our place. If you are called to be an armor bearer in a ministry, you need to be in your place. That means there's no gossip. There's no words. You don't come out of your place. If you're supposed to be in prayer, you're in prayer. If you're supposed to be at church when it's open, you're there. Because you're part of that armor. See, the one way that the devil attacks in most ministries is through words, division, separation. Therefore, you can have no strength as a corporate army. See, the devil knows that the mind is the strategic control center of your life. If he can seize your mind, then he can begin to wage warfare against the other parts of your being. Let's see if I how much time I have here. Okay, let's look at Luke 10, 19. Keep your hand in Ephesians 6. I can't begin to encourage you enough about how the armor of God must be in place and how you must be locked into a corporate body in order for you to wage war successfully. Most people don't want to do that because it's nothing more than blatant rebellion. They don't want to be part or subjected or submitted to a body. But if what we saw on the television, if those soldiers weren't submitted to their leader, they could not have fought that battle. If every one of those soldiers had decided, I'm just going to go any which way I want, or I'll fight it this way, I'll fight it that way, they would have lost. That's the, really, I have to say, stupidity in the body of Christ today. That's where the enemy has it over us. Because the body of Christ just wants to do it their way. They'll go to church whenever it's convenient. They'll go to prayer meeting when it's convenient. And therefore, there is never a strength to push through. In Luke chapter 10 and in verse 19, Jesus says, Behold, I give unto you power, there's the word exousia there, to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing can hurt you only if you have the shield of faith intact and your armor is on. You could quote this scripture all you want, but if your armor is not on and you don't have your shield of faith up, then this scripture will not work. Now, I could stay on this forever. I love preaching on the shield of faith. We need to go on the next armor, okay? So we're going to move to verse 17. It says, take the helmet of salvation. All right, now let's look here real quick. We see the helmet of salvation on the soldier. And we see a very glorious helmet. And it's encroached over his whole head. Now I'm going to talk about the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, the word salvation means wholeness. Wholeness in every part of us. These helmets made the Roman soldiers noticeable. They were ornate and beautiful. They were elaborate. When God gave us salvation, God gave us an elaborate salvation. He gave us deliverance, healing, prosperity. And all of this salvation needs to be wrapped around our brain. That's why you have a helmet. Amen? And the helmet, if we don't protect our thoughts, our thought life, then we are not going to walk where we need to be walking. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations. Imaginations is the word reasonings. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Anointed One. If your thoughts start getting full of fear, anxiety, anger, rage, doubt, unbelief, rejection, I could go on and on. You have not cast down imaginations. And therefore, you do not have the helmet of salvation in place. Amen? So you need to check that out. Now let's go on. And in verse 17 it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now this is the Rhema word of God. All right? And real briefly, we see the sword over here. This is the sword. The soldier has it in his hand. So he's got the word of God ready to wield. All right? Now, this is different than the loin belt word of God. The loin belt is the written word. The sword actually is the word that comes up out of your spirit. That's what helps you use your faith. Amen. It's the word that comes up out of your spirit, boom, like that, on a moment's notice when you need to use it. Okay? This was one of five kinds of swords, and it was most deadly used. It was like a weapon of, It was used most deadly. It was like a weapon of murder. And it's called the Rhema word. I'm going to go real quickly here because I have a few things I have to get in and we're kind of running with our time. A quickened word, a word from the Lord, especially in time of sickness, attack. What do you need to do? You get attacked. By his stripes I'm healed. He sent his word and healed me. God's not given me a spirit of fear, a power of love and a sound mind. You're not going to be able to speak that up out of you, the sword of the spirit, unless the logos or the loin belt is in you and you've studied it. Amen? The written word of God, which is the logos, which was the loin belt, is the source that the Holy Spirit gives us a rhema word. Remember, Jesus told us, and we're not going to go there, you can write this down and you've studied it in John 14:26, that the Spirit of God will reveal to you all truth, all things. The Spirit of God will bring up into your remembrance when it needs to this word, a timely word when it's needed. Amen? Now the last weapon in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints. Now, the prayer and supplication actually is a lance. And on the diagram over here, the lance, you can't see it that well, but it's already locked in. It's behind him. It's locked into his loin belt. It's a smaller type of sword. It's a lance. And that's what prayer and supplication is. Hallelujah. Now, this is the final weapon. And what does that mean? Well, you pray with all kinds of prayer. Amen? And that's what we're learning in Watchman School of Prayer. All kinds of prayer. And that's what it is. If you translate it, it means praying with all kinds of prayer. Different kinds and sizes of lances. Okay? And that portrays the different types or kinds of prayer. Praying always with every possible moment. So, do you have your armor on? Amen? And I'm going to propose that to you that are watching and you that are listening on audio. Check out your armor. Which part is not on? Which parts do you need to focus in on more? And if they're all not on, you better start with the first one, which is the loin belt. Amen? Which is the Word of God.